During these extraordinary times, are you seeking friends and collaborators, like-minded, brilliant, beautiful souls who want to be a part of creating the new earth? Here is the answer. Welcome to Soul Search. Soul Search is the high-frequency global online destination for spirituality and consciousness. This is a multidimensional community for spiritual seekers, healers, teachers, and guides for the global awakening. With Soul Search, the spiritual seeker can easily search for and connect with healing modalities, spiritual teachings, practices, and practitioners. Within the Soul Search community, you can join groups or take courses for your spiritual journey. With Soul Search, you are part of an inclusive, growing global community for consciousness. For spiritually conscious practitioners, Soul Search connects you to a global audience seeking your services. Post client reviews, articles, videos, photos, and audio. You can create secure and private online communities for your groups and clients. Be a part of an awakening community for spirituality where you can collaborate and connect with practitioners and seekers. Whether you are a spiritual seeker, healer, or just curious, join soulsearch.io today.
I'm so honored and excited to be able to introduce my dear friend, sister, and land neighbor, India, Zoe Prema. I'm so excited she's here with us. She's amazing. She supports people through their awakening, through their shadow work or shadow bliss or shadow play, as we sometimes call it. She's really, really gifted as a seer and a behavioral tracker. And I've actually had the pleasure to work with India with my sacred union. She's really amazing at holding a safe, sacred space to help people awaken to their own part in everything, right? And so that part of awareness of awakening up to our shadow is what liberates us into our light side and actually allows us to expand instead of continuing to expand and contract and expand and contract. This is that deep work that allows us to liberate into a higher ascended space. So India is amazing. She does workshops, she works with couples, she works with individuals. And she just wrote a book that's coming out in the spring. India, you'll have to, I know the name has changed a few times. So I don't want to get it right. It was Unearthed. I think it's Burning the House Down, which is really exciting. Is that right?
Yes. Burning Down the House.
Burning Down the House. And I've helped her with her book process, and it's coming out in the spring. Welcome, India.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here. And coming on the tail end of Neil, and that was a lot to take in, even in the last 10 minutes. But it was really awesome. And the thing that he said, which is going to lead me into what I'm going to share today, he said, how are you going to experience the light without knowing the darkness? And, you know, this is all very multi-layered. And it's not just a flat, we are in a multi-dimensional state, we're in a multi-dimensional galaxy, what's happening out there is happening down here. And so for me, the shadow is the foundational piece for expansion and to be able to hold the frequency, if you will. And this has been my own experience. I mean, I went higher than a kite a few years ago. Everything was in synchronicity. I couldn't believe everything that was transpiring for me. And I hadn't looked at deep into my shadow or that layer of it, and I just came crashing. And I was like, oh. And so, you know, I didn't really realize it at the time. And then as time went by, and then I went more into my shadow again and peeling back the layers of the onion, I started to see the universal law of what was transpiring. And there are so many different perceptions, so many different viewpoints. I don't know what the truth is. All I know is what has transpired for me. And working in the shadow is the piece that unravels us so that way we can start to rebuild and look at our conditions, our beliefs, our perceptions, where all those stem from. And, you know, knowing and embodying all aspects of ourselves from the inside out is the foundational piece. It's where we can hold the frequency. It's where we can expand and work from that place. And it's understanding ourselves. And for me, this is done through the shadow. It's the shadow, and why I use shadow bliss and shadow play is because it is also work. But it doesn't have to be scary. And most of us see the shadow as a frightening place to be. And in a frightening thing to have to look at, like we want to disown it, you know, and we go into struggling where our why our troubles are of our own making. And so when we can go into what I like to refer to as a treasure hunt, then what transpires is we start to look at those things as opportunities for our growth and ultimately our expansion. So, you know, it's a part of a spiritual rebirth. The shadow can also be a part of the dark night of the soul, which is a very deep and profound process. I actually spent 5 years in the dark night of the soul, and the shadow can be components of that. And in my journey within the dark night of the soul that I didn't even know I was in, is that it was a complete and utter collapse of my entire existence. It is a soul rebirthing, and being in it and, experiencing that depression, the anxiety. I didn't want to hurt myself and I didn't want to hurt someone else, but I didn't want to go on living. And it was a really scary place to be. I was full of anger. I was full of rage. I was the victim of all of my circumstances consistently. And my theme was like, justifying my story. You know, if this happened to you, you would feel this way. If that happened to you, you would feel this way. Even when I had 10 life crises happening in 10 months, I was still the victim of all of it. I mean, I had a nervous breakdown, and the shadow was a part of that, but it was so much of my shadow that my higher self just rattled my world beyond my comprehension. And once I came out of that and started really deepening and deepening and deepening my work, my self-work, I started to see the parts of the shadow and why I ended up in the dark night of the soul. And it's because I wasn't listening. And I didn't know anything about energy. I didn't know anything about vibration. I didn't know anything about frequency. I just was experiencing that life was happening to me. And one day I realized that it was happening for me. And that was when everything shifted. I also started understanding about contracts and agreements when the seed had been planted years before. And things just started to come into alignment for me. And through my process, what I was able to do, which is why I have so much passion with shadow play, is that, you know, I used to live in storytelling, who did what to me and who's an asshole and who's this and who, and whatever story I was making up. And I just kind of lived there all the time, just my head going. when I started going into my own really deep work and unwinding and unwinding and unwinding, over time, what I was able to do is that I would be in a place and then something would happen and I would dip into my mind, into my ego, into my judgment, into my arrogance. But I just dip and then I work myself out of it very quickly and I come back up and I'm like, okay, this is mine. This is mine. I don't live in that place anymore. And that is a part of sovereignty as well. You know, we have the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, the ethereal body, and all the bodies have a part. All of the pieces have a part in our existence. The 3D, the shadow, the energy, the ethereal, the ascension, it's all part of the whole pie. And this is where the shadow comes in and we give it names and we embrace it and we learn to love those parts of us because that's what makes us whole. We have both dark and light that we hold all the time, like yin and yang. It's where are we finding our balance? It's when we lean one way or the other, it's where we go off balance. And, you know, what we do, what I do in my work, and I work primarily in groups. And the reason that I work in groups is that the medicine is received by everyone within the group. I work with small groups, and I find it to be more beneficial. I like to get in, help people find the tools that they need to start unwinding. There is a self-awareness process. And the question becomes, how do we come into self-awareness? How do we come into self-awareness? And that's what I teach. I teach, how do we come into self-awareness? What does that really mean? Do you know that you have shadow? And the shadow can look a variety of different ways for people. And I'm going to give you an example of something that transpired because the shadow isn't necessarily just you triggered me and there's my shadow, right? And I can get into that in a minute. But something came up on an app that I was on this morning. And it's called Nextdoor, and it's a local community page. And so somebody had posted on there that she woke up this morning and two cars were parked in front of her house, in front of a fire hydrant. And she went into, what kind of recourse do I have? And I went into, well, where's the shadow? And I say that because this is often what we don't see within ourselves. And it all has to do with control. Control, control, control. And it's just like, why are you so concerned that there were two people in front of a fire hydrant? Yes, I understand the significance of a fire hydrant, but they're not in your driveway and they're not blocking you in. So the question becomes, why was that so important? How do we know? How did you know that maybe those two people showed up in the middle of the night because there was a death in the family, or there was a bad accident somewhere, or something transpired that created those two people to pull in front of a fire hydrant? And so when we go back and we look at that, it's like, why does it matter? Because I mean, I need to control the situation. By utilizing the word recourse, what recourse do I have? I'm like, that's where I go into, how do we unwind? And it is somebody, I just saw it really quickly. Somebody said, yeah, it is very hard work. But I can tell you this, it is a lot harder not to do the work. Because what happens is that the universe, our higher self, source, whatever name you want to call it, it is going to take charge, and it always does. What happens is that when we don't listen and when we're not willing to do the inner work, our lessons get more and more and more painful. And I know this firsthand. You know, when I had a life crisis and I'm in the dark night of the soul, I didn't get my lesson. I went back to putting my my life back together from the outside. And what happened was, is that 3 years after my calamity of crisis happening, I had breast cancer. I go through a year of treatment. And then when I start firing on all cylinders or a few cylinders again, I realized, I was like, wow, I'm not living where I want to be. I'm not where I, what am I doing? And the universe put me in this yoga studio in San Diego County. And my whole world shifted. And it shifted because I was in that yoga studio for 6 days a week for 9 months, rehabilitating my body. And that was when I started to hear a new language. That was when I started to understand the difference between the head and the heart, which also plays a big part in the shadow. Because it's looking at ourselves and realizing, ah, this all comes back to me. I get triggered, and most of us go, you really pissed me off. You did this, or you did that, or you said this, or you hurt me, and we attach these things that the other person did. Those triggers are such beautiful medicine for us. That is where we receive the medicine or not. It is a fork in the road. And what I mean by that is that when we get triggered, doesn't matter who it is, when we get triggered, we automatically go outside of ourselves. We go into the linear way of seeing it. What the circular way and the trigger opportunity is to receive the medicine is to stand back and go, why am I really upset here? Or why am I angry? Or why am I feeling jealous? Or why am I insecure right now? Oh, that has to do, and we start unwinding. We start unwinding. This is why I said earlier that our troubles are of our own making. These, the way that we look at the trigger that you did it is being the victim. It's the victim. And I lived in that space until I was 55 years old. 55, and I'm going to be 60 in a couple weeks. And it was a frightening place to be, being that old and realizing, wow, I had given all of my power outside of myself, all of it. And the sovereignty comes in through freeing our mind of all the stories we're telling, the conditions, the patterns, the programming, everything we've picked up along the way. Sometimes we know why and sometimes we don't. But when we can unwind and we start to go, wow, this is why I'm feeling jealous right now. This is my insecurity. They're not doing anything. And when we start seeing ourselves over and over and over, when we go inward to look, we start to realize that we have work to do. When we stay outside of ourselves, then we know that we will never be able to understand that we are the creator of our reality. And this is where the freedom and the sovereignty is a part of it. It is freeing the mind. And when we start to free the mind of the stories that we are creating, we eventually soften. We soften and we start dropping down into the heart, down into the heart. And then we start to have more mature conversations. We start to listen to people differently because we're softer. we can have more compassion, because when we have compassion for ourselves, we can have compassion for others. We cannot give away what we don't have. And when we do the inner work, then we have more opportunity. And Neil said this somewhere, is that then we turn around and we share. We share. This is what the wounded healer is. I did not set out on this path. I had a beautiful career for 21 years that I am still passionate about. And the universe went, you, we need you to write a book. You know what I mean? And it was just like, okay, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I felt through three experiences that I won't get into, and then my own feeling of responsibility and what I learned by being in Alcoholics Anonymous for 21 years was that I have a responsibility to share my experience, strength, and hope. And in that is that healing my own self. I mean, I was a train wreck. And it was to have a nervous breakdown with 21 years of sobriety. But I can tell you this, because I'm a deep diver and I've been willing to do the work, and even in my sobriety, I did all the work that was asked of me. And that was at a whole other lower level of work. It took me way into my behavior. And but I was always seeking, always seeking. And then when my life collapsed around me in 2008, 2009, I never went to another meeting again. Like everything got stripped. People, places, things, money, stuff, my 17-year relationship, my mom died. I mean, everything was wiped out. And I was 47 years old, standing looking in the ocean and saying to myself, I don't know who I am without all of my labels. Like that scared the shit out of me more than anything else that was transpiring. And what transpired for me is that I knew I was on a spiritual journey, even though I was so in the 3D, I had this sense of knowing that I was on a spiritual journey. And fortunately for me, I will be 35 years sober in February of 2023. And I say that because it was so important that when we do the inner work to the best of our ability, when things get crazy all on the outside, the roots of our tree is in. We are in alignment with who we are, and we don't get, you know, we're not getting blown all over the place. And this is part of freedom. It's part of sovereignty. It's part of being in the heart. It's part of ascension. But we have to do the work if we want to do the work. If you don't want to do the work, you can choose to stay where you are. That is okay. That is okay. The place that I arrived to in all these different layers of things that were transpiring that came to me through some really deep shadow work. I mean, it was brutally painful. And I don't have to go down so far anymore all the time. I'm like, oh, I recognize this. And so the beautiful thing that happens is that I no longer live in storytelling. And even as recently as a year ago, in September of 2021, that was when my book was originally going to be launched. I had just moved to Sedona. A week later, it was supposed to be launched. And two really big things happened 4 days before and 2 days before, in which the book didn't get released. And I had a meltdown. I gave myself an hour. I gave myself permission to feel the disappointment because I knew what was happening. I knew what the universe was doing. And I was like, okay. And somewhere, and so my book still isn't released. I handed it over to a ghostwriter to do some beautiful work with it. And what transpired is that I was able to, first of all, let go of the control of when I believed the book needed to go out, because it's already in its divine timing. Lesson learned by doing my shadow work. And then the second thing that transpired is that here was a piece of my storytelling. Somehow in my mind, I believed that my book and all the shit that transpired and how I got to where I am now needed to be first, followed by my work coming second. Like the book validated why I do my work. And when I let it go to the ghostwriter and completely let it go, I stood there and I was like, why did you believe that that was what needed to happen? Nobody ever told me that. And I created a story in my head that I then had lived by like over a year. And I was like, wow, that was quite interesting. It didn't do any harm, but one more time, I was like able to observe my own behavior. Where did that come from? Why did I believe that? Why did I make that up? Why was that in my head? And these are the things that we do. And we make all of our decisions. All of our decisions are based from our deepest wounds. Because when we're in the trauma and the crisis of what has occurred for us, and the stories we tell ourselves, and our low self-worth, our self-esteem, our lack of confidence, not being good enough, I mean, all of that comes into play. And it's really liberating to be able to understand all of who we are. So I was going to wrap it up, but I wanted to not wrap it up, but I wanted to bring this one piece in. I talked originally at the very beginning about control. The opposing side of control is surrender. And surrender is a tricky place because it's different, I believe, than just letting go, because things come at various levels of depth and pain in our teaching. Some things we can let go really easy, and other things we are like holding on to. And it's so fascinating to me in our human behavior that when something is uncomfortable, but I know it, it's familiar. I can see it, I can touch it, but man, I'm uncomfortable. Whether it's in my job, whether it's in my relationship, whether it's in my home, whatever it is, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm not willing to trust. What I'm saying is that I'm not willing to trust and have faith that this is uncomfortable because it's run its course. And when it runs its course, we can let go. And yes, that is burning down the house. It's the phoenix. It's rising from the ash of who we are. It is part of the rebirthing. We don't go from one vibration to another as the same person. The veil literally starts to thin, and we see things so differently. So it is such a fascinating process. But when you think about the polarity, when you're willing to dive into your work, however deep or not that is for you, that's your soul's choice. If you go this deep, you'll ascend that far. If you go this deep, you'll ascend that high. It's the polarity. It's like being in love, deeply in love. If it's a beautiful love and something happens, the grief will be in its polarity. And so it really is true. You want to sow a field of mediocre seeds, you will have a mediocre harvest. And so I would love to encourage you to get in there, to do some digging, I love this work. I have been so deep in that process, and spending 5 years in the dark night of the soul was no joke, but it was where I have gained the insurmountable amount of wisdom that no longer holds me hostage. Instead, I get to think about my dreams. I get to create. I get to support people in their journey and watching the light bulb come on. So that way you're receiving your own medicine. You're receiving your own medicine. And surrendering is the most beautiful and the most powerful gift you can give yourself that I can give myself. And for me, the surrendering, the deep surrendering is something that is very sacred. It's between you and your creator, you and your higher self, you and God, whatever that is for you. It is a very deep process. And when that transpires, that's where the ascension comes in. It's energy. We don't move ourselves into a higher ascension. The energy moves us into a higher ascension. And it is such a beautiful place to be, knowing that I did not want to be on the planet. Up until 2017, 2018, I did not want to be on the planet. No one in my world, which was so 3D, even could comprehend what was happening to me. And so I wasn't supported by anyone, but that was so necessary for me to just go on a complete and utter redirect. And it has been an ungraceful journey, a very ungraceful journey when I didn't have the tools. And I used to sit in session with my own coach for several years, just so enraged with the system and with this and with that and the institution and the medical and the boom and the bang and the dee. And I can tell you now that, you know what? I can have a conversation about the IRS or about the government or about this or about that. And I can just stay in my alignment. I don't get impacted one way or another about anything. Soul contracts and agreements was something that was a beautiful part of my journey, which aided in my shadow work as well. Because when I came to that full understanding that my soul has a contract here, when I got triggered, I started to realize, and in fact, the biggest epiphany I had was around an old boss I had that was really mean. And I worked, and I was living in the South, and I, working under her for 1 year, I put on 60 pounds. I blew up to 209 pounds, never weighed that much in my whole life. And I was just eating at my emotions. And I was too fearful to leave my job because I didn't have another one. And I recruit for a living. And so what happened was, is that, you know, I was way overweight, 60, 70 pounds overweight. And then, but when I needed to have my breast reconstructive surgery, I needed the belly fat and the belly skin to make a breast because I got third degree burns and radiation, and I wasn't a candidate for implants. And then a couple years after my surgeries, I sat up in bed and I was like, oh my God, I'm like my old boss. I'm like, she did her part. And it was at that moment where it became so clear to me. I was like, had she not been so hard on me and so mean, and I just couldn't relate to her, I wouldn't have eaten at my emotions. Had I not eaten at my emotions, I wouldn't have put the 60 pounds on. If I didn't put the 60 pounds on, I wouldn't have never been able to have a breast, because that's what it was made from, my fat and my skin. And at that moment, I set that woman free, and I set myself free. And ever since then, and that happened in late 2017 or early 2018, and I had so much gratitude for coming into the awareness of that. And then I could start to see soul contracts and agreements everywhere. And that's what the trigger is. When we get triggered, when I get triggered, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Because that's my teacher. That person, that situation, that place, that's my teacher in that moment. Because if it's a deep lesson we're not getting, it will show up somewhere else, by someone else, in another place, in another time. It will keep rearing its ugly head. So the trigger comes, and that is where we have the opportunity to receive the medicine. When we do that, that's where the gift comes, because the gift is the wisdom. And then next time we're in that situation, we go, ah, I know what this is. I know what's happening here. And then we start unwinding ourselves. And this is the beauty of the work I do. It's letting, understanding our need for control and where is that derived from? Because if we don't understand the root of it, it will continue to reoccur. So we get in and we unwind and we unpack and we reprogram the way that you look through things as it pertains to you. And then surrender, you know, it's the most beautiful thing. It is all the process. It's all the process to freedom, to sovereignty, and to ultimately to our ascension. So I have no idea how long I've talked.
Hey, India, you're doing great. You're just right on closing time, but we did want to open it up to anyone. Yes. In the audience, that if anyone has any questions, just type into the chat for India. It's funny, as you were just talking, I just thought about the most recent thing that came up for me, and I was thinking about it differently, because I'm like, what is the medicine in this? Why did this happen for me? So I was really in that process with you. So thank you for the deep wisdom, and I've had the pleasure of receiving your medicine, and it's so funny how there's so many things we have blind spots that we can't see, right?
Thank you so much. Yes. So beautiful. And I just love how you brought the shadow work aspect into this, you know, amazing conversation about ascension that we've been having all day, and really segueing from what Neil was saying in terms of shadow work, you know, without the shadow, where is the light? So, you know, this is exactly what it is. And we do have a question coming in from Diane. She's saying, thank you. What is your daily self-care ritual energetically? Beautiful question.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful question. So because I get really bored easily, I change my rituals up. And one of the things that I do is I can either go out to our guardian tree in the morning. We have this beautiful, we call her the guardian. I will either spend time with her. This morning, I walked out into the garden. I was listening to some beautiful mantra. I'm barefoot. I will take my Vespa out. It clears my mind. I will listen to meditation. I will sit in silence for hours. I will do a variety of things on how I feel that particular morning. Sometimes somebody sent me an early birthday song yesterday, and this beautiful song was like just looking into the sunlight. And so, you know, it's sometimes it's just going out and just putting my face towards the sun and just being in gratitude for that. Yes.
Awesome. Does anyone else have a question for India? Let's see. Yeah, well, I do want to reflect, India. A lot of people were saying, I needed to hear this today, and this message is for me right now. So obviously you're hitting a chord, as we all have shadow play or shadow work to do. And I do like how you say it's more painful to not do it, because that is so true, because then you're literally always left wondering, why does this always happen to me?
Yeah. Yes.
Your version is.
I mean, the freedom that I have experienced in my mind, in my energy, in my heart was so worth. And let me tell you, I would not wish upon the dark night of the soul to anyone.
Joseph has a question for you. He wanted to know if you still attend AA meetings.
I have not been to an AA meeting since somewhere late in 2008, maybe January of 2009.
So just to follow up on that, what has shifted? And do you feel like the trauma that you've released and the shadow work you've done has helped you to stay sober? I guess it's my question because, yeah.
Yes. You know, I did a lot of work in Alcoholics Anonymous. But that work is not designed to take you deep. It's a behavioral based. There's nothing wrong with that. For someone like me, I kept getting called for more. When my life unraveled, I didn't intend on leaving, but I knew that I was not going to go to another meeting. And I mean, I won't get into this very cathartic experience I had. And I kind of went into the void for about 5 years, the void between I didn't have a fellowship and I didn't know what I know now. And I didn't have the tribe and the community I have now. I was in this void, but I was never going to drink. That is something that I hold very strong in my conviction. And I knew I was on a spiritual journey and drinking was not going to be the solution at all. And these last years, this whole world that I live in now with energy and vibration and heart is a whole different place for me. It's like drinking doesn't even occur to me. And it shouldn't at 35 years of sobriety.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, another question. Do we agree? It's from Grace. She asks, do we agree to work through multiple shadows from birth and or generational trauma? What about karmic shadows? Oh, that's an interesting question. Like coming into this life with karmic. Yeah, I have a little bit of experience with that myself.
Yes, and so did I. And I went into a deep karmic shadow back in 2020, in which I literally put myself into a woman's trauma center for 30 days. I was in a karmic cycle with my ex-partner. I mean, we had 7 lifetimes together. It was all converging on me at once. And I was like, what is happening here? And it was one more layer. And this is the beauty. And I want to bring this forth because it's so important. When we move into a place of understanding that our soul is here to do its work, why we chose to incarnate now, there are no labels. There are no right or wrongs. Everything is exactly as it should be. So when we go sideways, like I found myself in a trauma center, I didn't do anything wrong. It was another layer of the onion. It was another layer, and that's what this is. We're just peeling back our layers. We can't go from kindergarten to Harvard overnight. So we take ourselves, I say, we got to pluck ourselves off the cross. We cannot do that to ourselves. It's the shame and the guilt and the remorse and, oh my God, realizing our behavior. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to give you a shout out. India is also speaking at the 1111 conference, and we're going to do a workshop to help people dig through a little bit of the layer. Grace also just wanted to ask you about early life trauma, abuse, and or neglect, and is that the dark night of the soul? So maybe you could share a distinction of like what the dark night of the soul is, and then yes, like all of those things she mentioned bring up plenty of shadow, and how does that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really great question, and it's a very multidimensional answer because it's not just flat. For me, the dark night of the soul it didn't have to do with my trauma. I had trauma, that was another layer. And I had trauma, was not from my childhood. My trauma was all around my life collapsing and so much happening that I could never process because the next thing was coming at me. It also, I processed through the trauma of losing my breast. I processed, that was a long 10-year process I was in with that. That was one part of it, but that did not have to do with my dark night of the soul. My dark night of the soul experience took, I mean, everything was gone. I had 10 life crises in 10 months, death, divorce, job loss, you know, Wall Street collapsing, financial calamity, and money embezzlement. I mean, it was, I couldn't even get my head wrapped around. What I came to understand a few years ago, after many years of just like getting annihilated and I couldn't make any sense of it, I did what we are taught to do. And that is I put my life back together, tried to put my retirement plan back together, bought a home, got two dogs, had it, you know, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it from the outside in again. And that was, and I didn't know why that dropped in. I didn't even know what that meant. And then that's when I ended up at a yoga institute and things started to shift. My dark night of the soul was a total collapse of my existence. It wasn't just that, oh, my marriage of 17 years fell apart. That's a component. It was when my relationship fell apart, my entire financial self came into almost ruin when Wall Street collapsed. You know, it was like losing my job. It was my mom dying. It, you know, it was all these things happening at the same time that it literally created an opportunity for a soul rebirthing.
Beautiful. Thank you, India. Well, Diane says, this is so beautiful and inspirational. And I think we can agree. And just, we're so grateful for you and you're amazing.
One more thing, India, just to go back to Grace's question. What about the early life trauma and abuse or neglect? How would you put that in with the dark night of the soul or with shadow work? How does this play in? Just because I think it is an important question.
It is. And I will tell you this, I am not a trauma therapist. I can take people very deep in their shadow, very deep in their programming. But when there is trauma involved, it's why where I do my work, I have a trauma therapist that I work with, because that is a place that I am not trained and it can do some damage to people. So I am not a trauma therapist, but that is a beautiful question. So thank you, Grace.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, India. This has been really beautiful, you know, very opening, heart opening for us, because this is part of the ascension. You know, we are human and we're here having a human experience, and that includes the chaos of life.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's so interesting because when we talk about, you know, like dropping into the heart, it's just like, well, how do we do that? We don't just wish our way in there, not with baggage, mm-hmm. not with all this stuff we're bringing forth. So let's open the bag and let's start taking
what's in that bag,
lightening the load.
What's in that suitcase? I love the part where you said, if you go up this high, like basically, because that was the experience I had when my boyfriend passed away 12 years ago, was like all of a sudden it was the deepest grief I had ever been through, but it actually really expanded my capacity for expansion and love and like, and really appreciating life in a whole different level. So that's totally been my experience of like, when we go through these things, if we are able to move through the shadow and really receive all the gifts, then we are able to go deeper and we're able to go higher and wider and lighter and all of it. So, and yeah, this is so beautiful. We have Dana next, but we have about 10 minutes, right, Tanjila? We thought we would just ask the audience to share what is something from the whole day that you're taking with you that you received. It could be from India or it could be from any of the other speakers. And we'd be happy to bring you on camera to ask it if anybody feels called to share their voice or show their face, or you can just ask in the chat. But we would just love your takeaways. Like, what has been super valuable that you're gonna walk away with and remember? That's what we'd love to hear. Mm-hmm. And any if there's anything that you want to share. Grace said, oh, psychic surgery. Yeah, just drop in the chat if you guys have anything to share. We'd love to hear.
And anything that you all are feeling about ascension, what have you learned? Has anything shifted for you? Do you view ascension differently coming in here and being with us for the last few hours? So we just would love to hear your thoughts or reflections. And I don't know if Nicole or India, you'd like to share your thoughts and reflections on, you know, ascension, what ascension means for you and what this day has been. And I see Diane coming in, that we can shift from healing to service in the world.
Yes, very much.
Beautiful. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is the huge takeaway from today, is that when we heal, we are able to love ourselves more deeply, and then we're able to love all more deeply, and then be able to write to service.
Yes, totally. For me, Neil blew my mind. I was like, what? and actually every single speaker has so far. And Kalina, I had a very big activation opening with her, especially when she started speaking the fairy language. Like, that, I know that I've had a past life as a fairy. I've actually been told that by some random woman at an event. Came up to me, she's like, you're my fairy sister. Like, she recognized me from a past life. So when that was happening, I was just like, oh my gosh, like my physical body was lighting up. So that was really powerful. And Indy, I always love hearing your perspective, because I am working on some parts of my shadow that I didn't even know were there. and that's the funny part. There, you know, sometimes a new relationship will come in, or a new job or whatever, and then that will bring up another aspect to work on that you didn't see. And I've certainly been releasing, you know, being able to work with Tangela has opened me up, just let go of other pieces of control in my life. And, you know, stop maybe being, I mean, I'd say I was sort of an artist perfection. That side is definitely there. Like, I believe in excellence, but it's really shifted me to be able to drop more into authenticity and vulnerability, because there is no such thing as perfection. Sometimes the microphone will turn off. Sometimes, like, I lead calls on Zoom, like it's not always perfect. And so the more you can be transparent and you can bring in humor, there's so many tools. But
yeah,
yeah, working with Tangela has helped me with that, just being on these platforms where we're at the mercy of technology.
Happens. Yeah. I want to say Juan here says, very reaffirming with your knowledge. Says all the knowledge and the love you share is what the world needs. Looking forward for the day these conferences are in the mainstream media. Exactly.
Oh, yes.
You.
Calling that in, brother.
New earth we are creating together for sure. And Joseph, processing a lot. Beautiful fellowship. Thank you, everyone. Yes, definitely. Grace, I am surrendering and agreeing to let go, study, reflect, and find out for myself what I need to lovingly accept.
Yes,
is waiting for me to return.
And Dawn says, how to love for everything and everyone, human and not human. Yes.
Exactly. And then Judith, I think one of the most clear and valid remarks was by India, recognizing that she was trying to work on the outside again, and not at the point of origin that is within. All the work of the soul is, in my estimation, an inside job.
Yep. Trust me, if it were an outside job, the world would be in a much different place.
So
right? So Neil said this earlier, our outer reflection of what's happening on the planet is the collective of what's going on internally.
So true.
It's so true.
someone asked earlier, like, well, what should I be doing? I do think that doing our shadow work is something that we can all be doing to contribute to this global harmony that we want to create.
It's
very true.
And then we have Lauren saying, when India said responsibility to share experience, strength, and hope, this has been the mindset I've had in my creating as well. So it was truly validating. And that is so beautiful to see. You know, and that's what I was saying, what you shared, India, about the importance of doing our shadow work and then being able to share that experience, understanding that that's not your weakness. I mean, you all of this dark night of the soul that you've experienced and been sharing with us, that sharing is inspiring, giving us hope, giving us strength, everyone who's listening, and realizing that we're not alone in this process. We're not alone in this ascension. And the ascension is not just like a rocket ship up. You know, there are a lot of things that we are navigating, and we can do that together, which is beautiful. So
yes. And that's why I said earlier that we cannot give away what we don't have. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we learn and we embody what it is that we are sharing with others, then we have something to give away. We've experienced it. We don't know what we don't know until we've experienced it.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Stacy sharing lots of wisdom, letting go of control and surrendering. Yes, exactly.
Being that divine feminine, allowing. Yes. Judith says, yes, healing is first service. Oh, healing is first and service comes next. Yeah, that's right. Yep. And sometimes when we're in a really dark place, just a simple act of service can be healing. It can go both ways sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a really beautiful process because we become vulnerable. We become vulnerable in our truth and in our pain and in our shadow. We become vulnerable. And yet we can also, through our work, we hold the power. So we hold the beautiful balance of the yin and the yang, the male and the female energy, not one or the other.
Beautiful. Yes, and that's so true. And this is such an important part of the ascension, because in this paradigm that we have, you know, we are in, we have been in, we have been taught that vulnerability is a weakness.
Yeah.
Showing constant, unwavering strength is what we should be doing, even if it's not authentic to who we are, where we are, and what we're going through. And so as we're shifting into who we truly are, we're now able to say, yes, this is me. And in my authenticity, I have good days. I have bad days. Yeah. I have my crises. I've lost everything. So, you know, and that's okay. And I love myself because of that. Not I'm finding to love myself despite of that. So this is a huge part of the ascension, because it is like, like Judith, like Stacy was saying, letting go and surrendering to who we truly are and loving ourselves for it and through it.
Yep. And when we look at the shadow, we start to realize, like in my work, I ask a lot of thought-provoking questions. You know, just, are you current with who you are? Because most of us are not. Like, are you current? Have you done an inventory recently of like, oh yeah, I thought I was this, and gosh, I haven't done that for 25 years. You know what I mean? We don't really see who we are today. And that tells us, because I live this way, that we're outside of ourselves if we don't know who we are, if we're not current.
Beautiful.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
We're always evolving, and yet there's an essential nature that's always there. You know, that like the essence, it's kind of that uncovering and discovering that essence of who you are. But yeah, there can be a lot of layers that you have to shed first. Well, we have beautiful Dana here. Is there anyone else? I think we're going to bring Dana on.
You just said, sharing these wisdoms allows spirit comfort on each of our paths. Ever grateful. Wow. Thank you, Ginger. And thank you, India.
thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. This is Neil, founder of Portal to Ascension, and just closing out this podcast here and letting you know that what you're experiencing are all types of presentations that we have on Portal to Ascension. Such a wide variety, different audio clips from conferences that we do, and then other interviews that we have also on our YouTube. And I want to take this moment here at the end and just talk to you about a few upcoming things with Portal to Ascension. We're really excited because 2023, we're really blasting off, and we have a few conferences. We have Portal to Ascension San Diego, April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We have Portal to Ascension Glastonbury in the UK. Hope to see some of you there. That's August 11th, 12th, and 13th of next year. And then, or 2023 if you're listening to it now. And then we're also taking a tour of people to Egypt, guys. And we're going to go from September 7th. We're going to have the Hertex with us, JJ and Desiree Hertex, what you might have experienced on our channel. Joan of Angels is going to be with us, and also Alan Steinfeld. And actually, I have Joan of Angels here with me right now, so I'm going to just hand it over to her and get your input, Joan, on what we're going to be experiencing, your excitement, and all of that.
So this is a critical time in our history on the planet, and 2023 is this reawakening of our, it's just our reawakening of our spirituality and our transformation along this ascension timeline. So these events are designed to really awaken you, to really bring you to remember who you are, why you're here, your galactic origins, the power, the personal power we have within us to shift into the planet that we really want at the most optimum of potential, to align our body, mind, and spirit to get there. So these, just to be together in person, activates forgotten memories, activates light codes, activates DNA, and most of all, activates your happiness cells, because the joy in coming together is just extraordinary. So we invite you to come and be with us in any of these events around the world. And even online, we try to create that same energetics. Mm. So we love you all that we are creating a mystery school that goes around the planet and off planet.
Exactly, yes. And just a few websites for you. So firstly, of course, the main website, portaltoascension.org, we'll have everything there. You can sign up and get 1,000 plus, well, it's over 3,000 at this point, hours of free conscious content, you know, like a streaming platform where you can browse and all that. And then ascensionconference.com for Portal to Ascension San Diego, ascensionglastonbury.com for the Glastonbury Conference. And then the Egypt tour is going to be on Portal to Ascension, or is on portaltoascension.org as well. Yeah, so some beautiful, amazing experiences. We're really blasting off. It's time to get exponential. You know, we've been exponential, but now the exponential curve is even going even higher, because it's really time for us to remember who we are, tap in our true potential, and make some change on Earth that's better for, creates betterment for everybody, right? And that's why we're doing what we do. That's why this podcast exists. So excited to see you guys there. AscensionConference.com and Portal to Ascension. Joan, any closing words?
Ascension Glastonbury. Yeah, we're all taking off together. This is the time for which we've been called, loves. Can't wait to see you there.
Love you all.